This is Monday evening, May the 7th, and we are meeting in Committee of the Whole as was advertised. And the first item on the agenda, I've been asked by the administration to take the water and sewer rates first. So the first item on the agenda is docket item 383-11, parens 3. His Honor the Mayor is submitting recommended FY 2013 water and sewer rates for implementation on July 1st, 2012. Now, what I on a quick note, to give you an idea of what we're trying to do tonight, on both of these items, we are going to have a brief presentation from the administration. We'll then open it up to for questions from members of the board. We also need to open it up for a public hearing, which we will do after a few questions from the board. Then we'll take it back into committee. On the water and sewer rates, actually on both items, since we have discussed them before, I'm hopeful that we'll be able to take a vote tonight. But if members feel strongly that they want to delay one of the items and vote on it later in the budget process, we can do that. But the goal here is to try and vote for them, but we'll see how the evening goes. Sir.
Thank you very much. For the record, Fred Russell, Utilities Director. Also here with me is a number of City of Newton DPW staff. Unfortunately, Commissioner Carosi cannot be here, and I'm basically here in his absence. So if I could get started, just to go through the agenda as far as our presentation goes, I'm going to touch on the FY12 accomplishments and where we're planning to go from here, and then Maureen's going to take it over and just go through the rates that we're proposing. So with that, last year we did a lot of sewer improvements as far as to remove some of the inflow and infiltration of the system. We provided liner and some of the oak clay pipe, 35,000 linear feet. We also sealed roughly 550 manholes and disconnected approximately 50 or so under drain interconnections with the sewer system. This is actually a snapshot from one of the closed circuit television inspection cameras. As you can see, basically some of the infiltration coming in one of the joints of the sewer pipe here. We also cleaned and lined almost 11,000 linear feet of old cast iron pipe. The top picture is basically what occurs on the unlined cast iron pipe, and the below picture is basically the finished product of the after picture. We also installed 3,500 linear feet of new water mains. Most of that was Old Farm Road, where we upgraded the size of the water main in that area. We also, this is something that we actually did in-house by the utilities department. We rebuilt Solette's grate, which is off of Needham Street. You can see on the left, the grate was in bad shape. The walls were caving in. We actually replaced the walls and built a new grate, as you can see there. We also did some drainage improvements to the Crystal Lake bathhouse. Currently, the drainage stormwater from the parking lot basically runs down from Lake Avenue and unabated into Crystal Lake, which was essentially causing issues with water quality. We've now taken the water, intercepted it, treated it, and now we're providing some infiltration on site, or actually to the lot adjacent to it. So back in February, we met at Newton North, and I basically, along with my peers, proposed an 11-year CIP with the water and a 20-year CIP with 11-year CIP with sewer and 20-year CIP with water. The 11-year $49 million sewer plan and a 20-year $80 million, roughly $4 million per year for the water. Part of that, we proposed this map, which outlined the project areas from 1 to 11, I should say. And right now, we are currently doing the actual assessment in Project Area A, or Project Area 1. We're doing the assessment and the engineering design. What we're doing is using up the rest of the MWRA grant loan monies under Phase 7 to do that currently. What we're proposing to do is under this new budget of FY13 is to now start construction of Project Area 1, and in conjunction with that, start the assessment and design of Project Area Number 2, basically in the Newtonville, West Newton, and Auburndale area. Also, this is what's proposed for FY13. You can see a number of water mains that we're cleaning and lining and replacing throughout the city. And also one of the major projects is to clean and line approximately 2 miles of water main along Washington Street, which is a key transmission main for fire flows within the city. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Maureen.
Good evening. And so now we will get right to the rates. As we set the rates each year, obviously the most important component is the budget. When we take a look at the water budget, you can see that our MWRA assessment is just under $10 million, or 51% of our water budget. Our MWRA assessment for FY13 has gone up by $769,000, or 8.6%. The MWRA, the overall increase, 8.6. The overall increase was actually 6.8 that every other community or the average community would have received. But because we used more water than the average community, we have the delta between a 6.8% increase and an 8.6% increase. Additionally, when you take a look at the sewer fund, our MWRA assessment went up by $605,000, or 3.1%. In our sewer system, as I think you are probably all well aware at this point, we pay to treat approximately 65% more water than we buy. And that is due to our inflow and infiltration. And so where this MWRA assessment in the sewer fund accounts for 74% of the budget, or $20 million, a tremendous amount of that money is for treating water that we never bought. That number, we certainly could not decrease it by 65%, but the number certainly could be in the range of $5 million if we didn't have the infiltration. As we are putting our rates together and as we were developing the 10 and 20-year plans, we needed to take a look at what MWRA is going to be doing. As you can see, their rates are pretty much all over the place. But one of the things, because in relationship to everyone else, we are actually treating more water in the sewer system, we have been receiving a surcharge of about 1.2% over and above the typical MWRA increases. And so again, we need to take that into account. As far as the city of Newton is concerned, the line to the left of the middle, this is hard to see from your seats, but this is what has been happening with our water and sewer rates. We have had years when we have had as much as 11 and 12% increases. We even had a few years ago where we increased it twice. One of the goals as we were putting the long-term plan together was to have a dependable, stable rate increase. And so as we put this plan together, it's our intent to have the rates increase by about 3.8 or 3.9% per year. What does that do? And again, I know this one you can't really see, but the reason that I put this up is we have three different tiers of prices for our water and sewer rates. The average homeowner or the average bill is for 95 HCFs, 100 cubic feet of water per year. Most of that water, if you're not using too much, you're billed quarterly. So the first 20 HCFs every quarter is billed at Tier 1 or at the lowest rate. The next 50 HCFs are billed slightly higher, and anyone who uses more than 70 HCFs per quarter pays a premium for those HCFs that exceed the 70. So this shows last year we had a 7.7% overall increase in water and sewer. This year we're projecting and we are asking for a 3.9% increase. What does that do to our average homeowner? As I said, the average residence uses 95 HCFs, so this will be about a $51 increase for the average. Now, I know that there has been a lot of conversation about where do we go from here. We are not proposing at this point to change our rate structure at all, either to do second meters or a smoothing or a seasonal rate. We are still, as I believe you all know, in the process of really getting the meters to all report properly. And so our billing system isn't at a place where we can begin to talk about changing or where we can actually institute changing the rates. We certainly are interested in having that conversation. And so the reason I have this chart here is so that you can see the light blue area is what we would consider our summer consumption to be. That is about 10% of our water consumption is more or less summer consumption. What's interesting, though, is when you look at how we structure the rates, that summer construction is primarily billed at Tier 3. And so if you really take 10% of your consumption, which is about 300,000 gallons or millions of gallons, it's 10%. What it ends up being is about 12% of the revenue stream. And so when we start to have these conversations about seasonal rates, what we want to make sure that everybody understands at the outset of these conversations that if you are someone who doesn't use a lot of water or sewer and does not water your lawn, you will actually have a much more significant impact than someone who waters their lawn. So there will be winners and losers when we start to have that conversation. The people who don't use a lot of water will end up having about a 12% increase, just, and that's a back of the envelope calculation, but I don't think it's too far off. So if you don't use a lot of water, we would have to increase the sewer rates by close to 12% to make up for the change in the revenue. We will be more than happy to put a group together for the summer to take a look at second meters, seasonal rates, whatever it is that we all think we ought to do as we move forward. But again, we were not in a position to change the structure of the rates yet this year, but we're definitely looking forward to the conversation. Mr. Chairman, we're finished with this presentation.
Okay, are there questions from members of the board? Alderman Baker?
Sorry, Ms. Lemire, just to clarify, I think you said there is no adjustment in the rates, but if there were something to take care of seasonal rates, you'd have to increase the sewer charge by 12% or the water charge?
The sewer. The only one that we would really look at would be the sewer, because we pay for the water that we're buying. And so if you water your lawn, you would be using the water.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to understand that. Thank you.
Listen.
Thank you. You pointed out that we currently are treating 65% more water than we're actually buying. And I remember when we were getting the presentation over in Newton North, there was discussion that while we have parallel systems running for stormwater and sewer, that we were finding some things were connected to the wrong pipe, where actually stormwater is actually going into our sewer pipes, and that's probably contributing to it. The plan work is that going to, I mean, how far is that going to bring down our overage?
Yeah, well, if you part of my presentation was what we did in when we that slide that I had said we sealed 35,000 linear feet of clay sewer. We also secured over 50 of those interconnections between the sewer and the storm drain as well. But that's part of the whole issue with the II is the inflow, which is the connection to the under drains, which you're talking about. It's also sealing some of the leaky joints, which you saw the picture of, and it's also some of the other connections where manholes are seeping into groundwater, that sort of thing. So it's a culmination of a lot of different things that we're doing to reduce the inflow and infiltration.
Thank you.
Alderman Kalis.
Fred, quick question. So when you had presented in February, you said you were going to be doing the work that you're doing now. I'm just wondering, now that you're doing the work, is it as you estimated in terms of the area and the replacement and all the work that you have to do, or is it more? I'm just trying
to get... It's a great question. When we first looked at what we call the Area B1, which we just completed recently, we estimated to remove roughly 260,000 gallons of infiltration and over 50,000 gallons of inflow. What we require the contractor to do is to do flow isolation to actually confirm those figures, which they're in the process of doing that right now. We don't have the results, but when we do have the results, I will absolutely share them with the board.
Alderman Yates.
Thank you. Fred, over the years, I've felt out your department on the possibility of broadening the water discount to other categories of people with documented low income beyond what I think is fairly narrow qualifications now. Would you be ready to implement such a discount next year, fiscal year 2014?
Well, I think that's part of the whole conversation of structuring with the possibility of seasonal or second meters. I think you have to bring that into play with that as well.
Well, you did mention those, but I didn't hear you mention anything about broadening the discounts for people who have demonstrated low income.
Well, I think what we should do is evaluate all that. We should evaluate if three tiers is sufficient, if we need more tiers, if we should have second meters, the implication of that as well. But the whole spectrum of what needs to, how we should tweak these rates as far as, or adjust our rates accordingly.
But is it correct to assume that you couldn't do it now logistically, but that it might be doable in a year?
I would say so. I would say we will at least look at it within this structure.
Thank you.
This format.
Alderman Albright.
Thank you. Would you just explain to me one more time, so I can explain it to my constituents, why, if you use less water, are you paying 12% more?
Because if you look at the slide, let me go back, this slide here. Okay.
So that people don't get the wrong message at home, I mean, that's not what's being proposed for this year. That's if we go to some kind of a seasonal program or second meter. So, again, it's a good question, but I just want to make sure everybody understands that's not being proposed for this next fiscal year.
But the easiest way for me to describe it is to refer to this slide here. The top line, if you will, is actually our consumption that we got from the MWRA in 2010. That's our consumption line. The bottom line, or the straight line, is the minimum flow, which is basically the average flow in those months that we don't use irrigation. So essentially the shaded area will be under that, between the two graphs, which we will not be billing for sewer anymore because that's assumed to be irrigation. So now we have to make up that shortfall with all the ratepayers.
Okay, I get it. I had another question, but it's gone. Maybe it'll come back.
Alderman Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This might be a better question for Maureen. I remember at the February Newton North discussion, there was a question about the 3.9% to 4% plan over the next 10 years, that somehow that would include all this investment, and yet we seem to be less in the aggregate than the increases that we've seen over the last 5 to 7 years. Could you remind me what the answer to that question is?
Certainly. What we have done in preparation of this budget, we have really taken a very hard look at all of our expenditures. Last year we started our zero-based budgeting, you know, with all the general fund departments. Water and sewer, we were not quite as tight with that budget. However, in preparing this 10-year plan, we have now had the opportunity to really go through the water and sewer budget also. And so we have found some efficiencies in that budget. That budget also has benefited from the union contracts that we negotiated. So we've really put a lot of work into all of the basics that are in that budget so that we could implement the long-term plan and not have outrageous increases.
Just to follow up, so my understanding also of the variation in that preceding 7 years or so of the rate increases was partly because of MWRA's rate setting. That's kind of outside of our control. So do we have any sense that that's not going to change, or is our prediction really not taking into account what they might do?
Well, that's why in setting all of this, we have this slide for you. These are their proposed rates, so that we could understand what MWRA is going to be doing. They've actually gone out and done an advance refunding on some of their bonds. And so we know that they have tried to structure their rate increases also, because they're passing, you know, these rates along to all the communities throughout the Commonwealth. So at least by having this in our model, we took this into account. So we know which years we can expect higher increases from them, and so we made it a point to include that in our models.
All set? Okay, Alderman Danberg.
Thank you. On that chart, what is the difference between what's happening at MWRA between FY17-18 and FY19-20 that the rates are so high and so low the following year?
That's when the advanced refunding will kick in. Oftentimes, if you're doing advanced refunding, you don't see the financial benefit right away until the bonds would be called. And so the advanced refunding will kick in those outer years.
I see. And on the project that the city is looking to do, we have projected for 10 years, but what percentage of completion would that accomplish?
The water will be
in 10 years, let's say. Or what's the total number of years so needed in order to complete the leak-proofing of our...
That's an 11-year program.
Oh, okay.
That's what we're proposing, 11 years currently.
And would that work be divided evenly? And so my question would be, if the annual cost reduction as compared to the annual cost that it costs us, as compared to the reduction in cost that the MWRA would give us because we're doing better, do you have a sense for those numbers?
Well, they did give us a slide, and I didn't include it in this presentation, but we actually asked the MWRA to give us some statistics if we were to basically remove 50% of the II, 40%, 30%. I apologize for not having that when this, I didn't think it was going to come up, but basically the way they quantified it is that if we were able to solve, if I remember correctly, or remove 50% of our current inflow and infiltration, we could save up to approximately $3 million per year. That was the best information we had, because there's a methodology that they use to assign our rates. Inflow and infiltration is one of the five categories that they use to come up or devise our assessments. And basically they plugged it into their formula and gave us that information.
And would that bring us down into the average 6.8, down from the 8.6 increase?
Oh, I would hope so. I would hope it gets us lower than that.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much. Actually, to Maureen's point in particular, and I hope I didn't miss you actually saying this, when we talk about the rate increases and that we've built into the analysis, that you all have built into the analysis, MWRA's best understanding of their rate increases over time. It's also my understanding that when Ryan ran the numbers, we assumed over the next few years we would continue to pay penalties until we start to show improvement. But that after a period of time, and I forget if it's 3 or 5 years, that also comes out of the mix.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. Actually, over the past 5 years or so, our average penalty has been about 1.2% higher increase in our MWRA assessment than most other communities. In our model, when the MWRA calculates our assessments, they do it over a 3-year period. So even though we're going to start to make improvements to our system, we will only have, a year from now, we'll only have 1 year's worth of the 3 years. So in the model, we've assumed that we would continue to have that penalty. We want it to be fairly conservative, so we've kept the 1.2% penalty for each of the first 5 years. So if MWRA is projecting an 8% increase, we're projecting a 9.2% increase. After the 5th year, we certainly should be reaping the benefits, but it's relational. And so if no other community is doing anything with their sewer system, then we will see significant savings. If everybody starts investing, it's relational. So it depends on how we do compared to them. But beginning after year 5, what we have done is reduced that amount by 0.2%. So we have, in year 6, we still have a 1% penalty on our numbers. By year 7, we have 0.8. So we have that as a declining penalty.
And also on the numbers, not being naturally a numbers person, tried to listen really hard to all of this stuff. And it always sounded to me, as in this example, that you all were picking really conservative numbers and picking conservative numbers in terms of expected interest rate increases and the amount of water we would use per year and so on and so forth. So overall, my sense has been that this plan, albeit only having to raise the rates between 3.9 and 4% over the first 10 years per year, that the analysis is conservative with the exception perhaps of a major catastrophic event. Would you say that's true?
We certainly have made every effort to be conservative.
Okay, before I get to a second round of questions, okay, because the people that I have seen that want to ask questions have already asked, I'd like to open it up to members of the public to see if there is anyone here that would like to speak on the water and sewer rates, and then we'll take it back in a committee and people can ask whatever other questions they have. So at this time, I would like to open up the public hearing to any member of the public that would like to comment on the proposed water and sewer rates. When you come to the microphone, if you could just identify yourself and your address for the record.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue Flycop. I live at 163 Suffolk Road in Chestnut Hill, and I'm a co-president of the League of Women Voters of Newton. So I have a statement here from the League, which is also in your packet. The League of Women Voters of Newton strongly endorses Mayor Warren's proposed increase in both water and sewer rates. The capital plan associated with these rates is essential to the efficient and reliable functioning of our water and sewer infrastructure. A substantial portion of the 600-plus miles of piping in Newton is superannuated and needs repair and replacement. Until now, Newton has had no plan for maintaining, repairing, and recapitalizing the system. Newton's water pipes are said to be in better condition than our sanitary sewers, but they are leaky. The most recent measure of unmetered water is nearly 25% of the total. This leakage is more than double the maximum acceptable level set by Massachusetts water conservation standards. It is doubtful that the standard will be met with new, more accurate meter readings. Unmetered water is a waste, not only of clean water, but also of money paid to the MWRA. The mayor's proposed capital plan, funded by increased rates, will enable us to anticipate needed repairs and prioritize asset renewal while saving money in the long run. It will be expensive to fix our sewers, but not as expensive as not to fix them. They are in sorry shape. Most of the sewage which Newton sends to Deer Island for treatment is storm or groundwater. This high proportion of inflow and infiltration does not count sewer overflows, which have been known to occur during extreme wet weather. The proposed capital plan would first pay for a detailed study of the pipes in order to find the worst leaks and develop an engineering plan to fix them. A great deal of time and thought has gone into the development of this long-range plan. It is necessary, but may not be sufficient. NWRA rates are expected to increase at least until FY 2022. Water conservation and reduction of inflow and infiltration in other communities may keep Newton's share of MWRA costs constant. And a thorough survey of city mains may uncover more urgent repairs than we anticipate. A recent report of the Massachusetts Water Infrastructure Finance Commission should bring better understanding of the need to reinvest in public piping and offer some hope for state assistance. With a plan in place, Newton will be in a better position to seek such funds. The League hopes that the Mayor and the Board of Aldermen will continue to cooperate to achieve full cost pricing of these utilities, to add predictability to the rate increases, and to protect our citizens from the consequences, both fiscal and environmental, of leaks in the water and sewer system. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other member of the public that would like to speak at this time? Okay, seeing none, then I would declare that the public hearing is closed and we'll take it back into committee. I also just want to mention to members of the public who may be seeing this in the future that you have heard several members of the board reference a meeting back in February. That was an extensive major presentation that was done to members of the board in which a lot of this information was shared, and we were told at that time what the proposed rates increase was going to be and the justification for it. So I want to make sure that people know that we did spend a lot of time on this earlier in the year. Okay, Alderman Swiston.
Thank you. This is for Maureen again. I think Mr. Russell already answered the question. We're looking to the savings probably won't start kicking in. Oh, you said that until around year five. But you had also mentioned that we're not expecting to completely recover the 65%, or you're just not.
Maybe I didn't say it clearly. The 65% or so, what we can't do is just look at the total sewer costs and take 65% off of that. There are a lot of fixed costs that are part of the bill and, you know, are part of the cost that Newton has to bear. And so even if we removed all 65%, we can't decrease our assessment by that full amount, but we certainly can decrease it by millions of dollars.
So when you say that we are currently paying for 65% more water than we're consuming, you're talking about water volume, not dollars?
Yes.
Okay. Always need to know what it's percentage of. Thank you.
Alderman Albright.
I remember my other question. Maybe this one is not for you. I was looking at the tiers and then hearing your comment that the average homeowner home expends 95 HCF. And I was wondering, do we have a program to recommend conservation for our homeowners in Newton? And what, you know, over 70, it goes up, and yet every household has 95, the average of 95.
If I can just interrupt you, that's per quarter.
Per quarter. That's what I'm talking about.
No, it's 95 is the average for the year. And so the average home, so your first 20.
Let me make sure I understand it. The tiers are by quarter or
yes,
by year?
By quarter.
The tiers are by quarter, and the 95 is annual.
Yes.
Okay, well, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And so if you don't really use a lot of water, if you're alone living in an apartment, your costs are probably almost all in tier one.
Okay. That's what I needed. Thanks.
Alderman, I have you. Alderman Yates.
Thank you. I don't know whether this is Maureen or Fred, but in addition to INI, in what ways are we below average on the MWRA rating scale?
As far as with water?
The one where we get penalized.
That's with INI. That's
just INI.
Just sewer portion.
So we're doing as well as anybody else on the rest of our operations as far as MWRA is concerned?
Yeah.
Does the Wellesley sewage that goes through our aqueduct affect us positively or negatively?
Well, when you say positively or negatively, there is, you know, there is an agreement, an interminable agreement between Wellesley and Newton that allows them to do that.
I mean in terms of the MWRA rating.
No, as far as the capacity of the sewer that they're sending their flow to us. In other words, they have to share in the cost of that. As a matter of fact, recently in 2009, we upgraded the Cochituate Aqueduct, and they shared in the expense of that. So they share in the expenses.
Are they doing okay on INI? Are they doing better than us on INI, worse than us?
I don't know how they're doing on INI.
But if they were doing poorly on INI, and would that cost be reflected on our total flow?
No, absolutely not. No. They have a meter, they being MWRA, have a meter where they exit Wellesley, and
okay.
That is deducted from our meter. So we're in no way paying for if there's any inadequacies with Wellesley performing INI work.
So we're just
strictly new.
It's a pass-through.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Which is the same thing with Boston when we pass through Boston.
Okay, thank you.
Polo.
Four items, if I may. First, perhaps it would be helpful for Fred to clarify one piece of information that Maureen has been talking about that might be answered in using different language, which is approximately 60% of the flow that we send out to Deer Island through our sewer system is actually clean water that is groundwater or comes in through inflow. So that's a little, I think Maureen used slightly different language, and perhaps start there, just clarify.
Yeah, basically the MWRA sends us flow data every month. And what they're saying is that basically 65% of the flow that we're sending to Deer Island is inflow and infiltration.
Second, Alderman Yates, before you, asked a question about where is Newton doing better or worse than other communities. I think it is also worth talking about the issue that Sue Flycop mentioned as she spoke. Could you talk about our unmetered water and where we are compared to other communities and best practices and why that matters?
Well, currently we're at 25%. The only problem with that figure is that it's really just the best engineering estimate. Because our meters haven't been recording properly the last 3 or 4 years, we have to make some assumptions. We know what we buy from the MWRA, and we also know what we bill. So basically the difference is what we call unaccounted for water. There's a number of things that we factor into it, hydrant flushing, fire flows during fires, meter under registration, but for the most part, the 25% is really an estimate. It's not a true 25%. With that, I would say that 25% is probably higher than the norm, other cities and towns, and what we're doing is we're hoping to capture that once we get the meters fully installed, which we basically just installed the last of the meters in February of this year.
And my understanding is best practices would be roughly 15%, so once we get the more accurate data, we'll be able to judge where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Yost is actually saying it's more like 10% would be best practice, 10% for state, what they recommend for our level. So we have a ways to go, but let's see how accurate our data is. We'll know more in another year. Third, Alderman Danberg asked a question about how many years this our plan goes out and what percentage, in a way, of our pipes will be fixed. You talked about in 11 years we'll really have done almost all of our sewer pipes. We'll have to start over again, but we'll be in really good shape after 11 years. But we did do a 20-year plan for the water pipes, but what percentage of our pipes will we have done at the end of the 20 years? And my understanding, it's not complete, but why did we prioritize doing sewer pipes over water? And why can we go at a slower pace for water? Is that appropriate?
Well, we prioritized the sewer quicker because there was a more of a payback to the city for making those repairs. Basically, the payback period was less, or there was a huge payback period. With the water, you really don't have a payback period because there's not really cost savings. There is some in leaks in that the repair that we do when we clean in line is really not a structural repair that we're sealing leaks. However, we do replace all the service lines, which most of those, the vast majority of those, are old iron pipes that are 80 to 90 to 100 years old, which are susceptible to leaking, which the vast majority of our leaks occur every year. So that's where we're saving from the unaccounted for water with the cleaning and lining. It's not so much with the pipe itself, and that's more water quality and fire flow. But substitute to that is the repair of the sewer, of the water services, which are prone to leakage.
And just to remind everybody, Alderman Gentile, Chair Gentile already said this, but a tremendous amount of work was done by Fred Russell and Ryan Ferreira and Bob Rooney and Maureen Lemieux, Dave Tarosi, among others. We really, I think, have a really thoughtful, long-term strategic plan that will keep investing in the plan itself. I know the department is going to be coming back to us for more monies to really assess how to prioritize the water work. So it's not like we're done, but a huge investment of time in this last year, and we can feel, I think, much more confident when we vote on these rates about what we're voting for and that it's meeting both short and long-term needs. So I'm grateful, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Fuller just said how much work was done by other people, but I know she and Alderman Crossley were right there working with them, so thank you. A couple of questions. I'm under the impression that you mentioned that you were going to look at the second water meters and that issue, and also whether we need more tiers or less tiers, or, and I'm under the impression that there's a consultant you're looking at.
That's correct.
For this.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Have you chosen someone? Are you going to go
yes.
up to bid?
Yes. Yes, we've chosen somebody.
Okay. It would be great if we could see the scope of the work, because okay. It would be, in addition to the tiers and the second water meters, Alderman Yates mentioned an issue about discounts. I don't know if we could, you know, look at surrounding communities. That's great. At the Newton North meeting, that was one of the issues we had wanted to know about. Another one was, and this is to Alderman Schwartz's question, when we saw the 3.9% or 4%. And could you just explain how you got to that number as opposed to 4.2 or 3.8? And what the additional funds for the sewer will be.
I just told Ryan Farrar what I needed and told him to crunch the numbers. No, we met literally weekly since last April, I think, May. So we've been meeting for over a year weekly, basically trying to prioritize and come up with a strategy for how, what's you know, what's the proper length of a plan? Is it 5 years? Is it 10 years? Is it 15 years? As far as the sewer goes, and basically, with what we came up with was this 10-year plan because we thought it was a sustainable plan, and it was basically we then divided the city into 11 project areas, projected what we know it costs us now, what we've paid for in those areas that we've done the work, and sort of projected that cost over the entire city. And then that we came up with
and backed it out.
And that's, we thought it was a sustainable. We thought it was something we could keep an even a predictable rate, if you will, for the next 10 years. And we thought it was short enough that it was feasible from a physical standpoint to be able to do that much repair.
Thank you. And the last question is, you mentioned that this is sewer work for the next 10 years. Are we doing any water?
Oh yeah. We're doing that's more of a 20-year period,
okay,
as far as
I know. Payback, we get payback quicker.
Correct.
But water quality is, you know,
yes,
still an issue.
Water quality and fire flow as well is important.
Right. So that'll be over 20 years?
Correct. Right now it's 20 years.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Is there a motion? Yes, Alderman Johnson. So Alderman Johnson is moving approval of the new rates as outlined in a memo dated April the 9th from the mayor. Okay. Further discussion? Yes, Alderman Yates.
I'd like to put a resolution in at the same time asking for a report on the feasibility of broadening the discounts to people on low-income eligible programs.
You're certainly entitled to do that, but as Alderman Lappin in her questioning was put, there are other things that we want to look at, and I just think it would make more sense to take them all up at the same time since they're going to impact one another, meaning the seasonal rates, the possibility of a second meter. They're working with a consultant, so to pull one item out, I'm not sure that...
Well, frankly, Mr. Chairman, they seem to have forgotten that, and I just wanted to bring it to their attention.
Okay. I think you have brought it to their attention. We could vote on the rates tonight, and maybe we could talk
a little bit more about that
in Committee of the Whole.
That's fine.
All right. Good. Any other discussion? Before we vote, I just wanted to make one comment. I'm certainly planning on supporting the proposed new rates, but I'm just going to make the same comment that I made over a year ago. And that is, when we continue to hear that we are paying the MWRA to clean 65% of our clean water, when you further complicate that or compound that with the fact that we're getting penalized every year at what I think was 1.2%, knowing how much we pay the MWRA, to me, it's just common sense that we be as aggressive as possible in repairing our sewer pipes. And quite frankly, I know that the committee that put forth this plan, I know how hard you worked and you did a great job. I just hope that we could look at being more aggressive in repairing our sewer system, because the payback is immediate and the payback is substantial, and I think it infuriates everybody. Everybody in this room and the average citizen in the city to be paying the MWRA what we pay them, but to be paying them as much as we are to clean, treat clean water, to me doesn't make a lot of sense. So I was hopeful that at some point, or I'm still hopeful, that we may see a more aggressive bonding request so we can do as much of this work as we can physically do, because I realize that there are physical limitations of how much work you can do on the system at one time. But 10 years is too long as far as I'm concerned, especially when the sooner you get it done, the sooner you save money. So I gave the same little speech last year. I just wanted to mention it again. But again, I realize that folks have done a tremendous amount of work. Good job. The stability of the increases, but I think we need to be a little bit more aggressive. All right, there's a motion that's been made. Can we take this by a voice vote or... Okay, the clerk says that we can take this by a voice vote. All those in favor of the proposed new rates, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
May I, just before you close this portion of the committee of the whole, in referencing the presentation that was done at the high school, it was a great job by everybody, and there are copies of that presentation on DVD in the clerk's office. So if citizens who are listening and wanted to hear that pretty extensive presentation, we do have a few copies that they could come to the clerk's office and get. So.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the next item on our agenda tonight is 383-11 is on to the mayor submitting the FY17 capital improvement program pursuant to Section 5-3 of the Newton City Charter, which requires Board of Aldermen approval to finance new capital projects over the next several years. Again, I want to point out as a reminder all to my colleagues, but more importantly to members of the greater community, we had a substantial discussion on the five-year plan in the fall. We've had at least two updates, and so this is a continuation of the discussion. Mr. Rooney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I don't know if we've got the presentation online there, but while we're waiting, I will note Alderman Lappin raised the question about water quality. Tomorrow, the DEP is awarding Newton a water quality award because of the high quality here in the city. So kudos to the, you know, the water sewer team there. That's down in the old waterworks building and just over the line at the Chestnut Hill Reservoir. And the public's invited to attend that. Back in November last year, the administration submitted a comprehensive risk-based five-year capital improvement plan, which was data-driven, it was integrated, it was prioritized, and it was transparent. Since then, the intention was to review, to discuss, and to adjust the scope of projects as it was reviewed by the public and by the board. In addition, we would continue to add new projects as they came up. Since the new year, we've had, as the chair mentioned, two committees of the whole with the board. We've had three town halls. We've had four monthly meetings with staff and a board representation. We've had a steering committee reprioritize any new projects and met with the leadership of the CPC. It resulted in us docketing 14 projects along with the FY13 budget, which the board has received, that really sets us on a very aggressive path toward a $36 million FY13 capital improvement plan. And the purpose of docketing it at this time, which really I can't remember in the 10 years I've worked with the city having seen the capital plan submitted and docketed at the same time, and the purpose is to avail the departments of the monies as of July 1 when the budget's passed so that construction and design can begin on the various projects. If you recall, we were still docketing and submitting FY12 projects as late as the end of the calendar year, which means the funds aren't available and we can't start design, which means we're actually now starting the construction on some of our FY12 projects. And we'd like to push that schedule ahead and get a jump on that. Since $36 million, by the way, is relative to the fact that, you know, by best estimates, we have over $1 billion in city infrastructure assets to be maintaining and rehabilitating. Since November, the feedback on this plan has been all but positive. In fact, at the town halls, we've heard a lot of input about the scope of the projects, the fact that they were integrated across departments. Indeed, the different communities across the state have called and neighboring states asking how we implemented that methodology. And in fact, Kleinfelder SEA, who was the consultant on this, won an internal award. They're an international firm, and they won an award on this. So it is rather groundbreaking how this was done, and we're not done. This is really just the start. It's really a way for us to get this priority out there, and now we need to, as I'll touch on in a moment here, we need to push this forward in the coming months. But repeatedly, the comments sort of culminated around not only that they were integrated, but they identified what in Newton needs to get fixed and also why it needs to get fixed. It reflected the city's values as to how those things were prioritized. And it really, while one can criticize why a project is rated above another project, it elevated the whole discussion into something much more meaningful about our city values. And I think both our staff as well as the community benefited from that. It was not a combative situation. It really was in the interest of understanding what's important in the city. But in the interest of continual improvement, the FY14 to 18 budget, or CIP, which will be submitted in October of this year, we look to make a couple substantive changes. The first being that one of the things we heard repeatedly was that as a green community, as an environmentally conscious community, to reflect the values, we would like to see a weighted factor in our projects that credit our energy conservation measures throughout the city. So that would be added among the eight different consequences of a project. This would be the ninth consequence that we would weight to give some projects higher elevation based on that conservation of energy. And the second is that, and the board has raised this question a few times in our discussions, and that is to invest heavily, and when I say heavily, I mean the larger infrastructure investments, our water, sewer, our roads, our buildings especially. It's very difficult to look at a five-year window without asking the question, what happens at year 6, 10, 15, and even 20? If it takes 4 years to get a building either replaced or systematically rehabilitated, that really is the only thing that will show in our five-year window. And so we really do have to expand our horizons, and the administration is in agreement with that. And I'm hoping to meet with board members in coming weeks to outline how that might be done without going year by year, which would be a very painstakingly, and in the out years, less meaningful. But I think if we can bracket it somehow and really make a projection as to which buildings are going to be done when, it will help inform our close-term investments, and we're committed to making those changes. At this time, I'll have the commissioner will highlight some of the changes that have been made since November, and then open it up for any other discussions. That, of course, you will see each of the CIP projects in committee individually, and weight some of the details of those, the merits of those projects at that time. But Stephanie Gilman will highlight some of the other.
On that point, though, I just want to make sure that I'm clear. The FY13 capital improvement projects have all been docketed, or most of them. Is that not the case?
Vast majority, not all of them, because some are not really scheduled to come into a design and construction window until either the fall or the winter. So, but I would say the vast majority have. Some of them, and I caveat that if the board has already approved design funds, there may be FY13 construction monies that will be required, but we're not docketing those either because they're in the works currently. So, but for new projects that will start in FY13, a vast majority have been submitted.
Thank you. So once again, I'm going to return to our annual CIP calendar, which is going to continue, and we are, as you can see where the red circle is, that's where we are. As indicated, we have submitted docketed the majority of the FY13 projects with the budget, and we have met with the steering committee both in October as well as in April, as new information came forward, and we integrated that information into the updated CIP, which the complete document is actually available on the CIP page of the website, the city website. And I didn't print out the whole thing for you in your packets. You just got the highlights of the changes. So again, we're really looking at a snapshot in time. Every time we look at this, we're going to be looking at a snapshot in time because the CIP is continuously evolving. And as new information becomes available, we're integrating that information, and that information is coming from new projects that are being identified, as well as we get bids in and we see what costs are coming in for various projects, we can adjust our projections as well. So the breakdown of, and you actually have packets that David's handing out. The breakdown of the funding sources for FY13 projects is, as you can see, broken up here. The November 7th document that you received, the original FY13 number was 23 million and change. We've got a difference of approximately $13 million. That some of that is attributed to we've moved in these energy projects. That's $1.5 million, as well as $3 million in some additional projects that were outlined in your handout. Some of those projects were actually initiated in FY12, and when we put the document together, those projects were anticipated to be finished in FY12, and they didn't. So now we incorporated those projects into the FY13. For example, the Wavin Communication Tower building was started in FY12, originally anticipated to be fully funded in FY12. Wavin Hill, excuse me. The Emergency Communications Tower building. About $5 million of that is changes in cost estimates for projects. The majority of that is due to the Carr School project. As we were refining the scope, that bumped up about $4 million. So that's from what was shown in the bonding schedule in the November 7th document. So that change is really basically due to the Carr and the Day project. And then we've got some alternate funding sources as well that were added, about $3.5 million. Most of that, $2 million or so, is the MassWorks and the Chestnut Hill funding that came in for pedestrian improvements, as well as in the original document, we didn't have a complete plan for how we were moving forward with the CPC projects. And in this plan, now we've updated that, and we've got a schedule of how we're planning to move forward with the FY13 project. So that is now accounted for in that number. So that is almost $1.5 million increase from the previous version. Now, the overall plan, or the overall identified need, is around about $251 million. of that, in the five-year plan, what's scheduled to be funded is roughly $133 million. This pie chart is actually the total funding that would be needed for the five-year plan. What is actually funded is significantly less for buildings. Because we have done the assessment of all the city buildings, we've got everything included in here, which is really what we wanted to do. So that number is, you know, $169 million. What's projected to be funded in the 5 years is closer to $62 million. So you'll see that in your the online version, actually. I didn't think you were going to be able to see this, but that's why you have handouts. So the FY13 projects, the ones that are identified in red are projects that have already been docketed. This first sheet is the bonded projects. Up at the top is just for reference, because we actually are not requesting funding for the Andrew School project in FY13. We won't be ready to request funding until actually FY14 for the additional design funds. So just for reference, it's at the top, so you see that that's marching along through time. And then right below it is the Carr School project, which we actually just requested beginning design funds that were FY12 funds. We will be coming back for additional design funds to complete the design, as well as the construction funds, so that we can get that started in time for the Anger School students to move in there. Can go down these. The street sweeper's already been docketed. That again is a vehicle purchase, which is why it's indicated in that gold color. The energy efficiency projects have been docketed. We've actually docketed the whole amount is listed. The amount that's been docketed is the beginning of that project, which is for the Cabot School, and because we only have one audit done, so that will come in so that we can get that started for the summer. And then we will come back as we have audits done on the rest of our buildings that are slated for this phase one work. Burr School Mechanical and Lincoln Elliott Mechanical. Burr School Mechanical is a DDC conversion. It was in the original plan. The Lincoln Elliott project is actually bumped up. There's a higher need for it, so we've moved that forward. And that's to replace the heating distribution in Lincoln Elliott School, which has had a number of issues. Fire station 4 windows, as most of you know, we've had a number of issues with the windows. The original estimate that was included in the November 7th document looked at doing a complete replacement. We've actually identified a smaller scope of work to replace the window, the exposure that's actually leaking, as well as the work to repair the damage that's been done on the interior. Lower Falls Accessibility has actually already gone through the Finance Committee for the design funds. This is a project that is coming out of the rest of the work at Lower Falls and has been moved up in the schedule and is slated to be constructed in FY14. City Hall Veterans Wing, as many of you know, most of you know, the intent is to put in an accessible ramp as well as some renovations to that wing. That's all been in discussion as part of the potentially moving the health department here. And that is, so you can now see the schedule. The intent of this is so you can see what we've docketed, the timing of these things, and when we're anticipating design and construction schedules, so that you can see them all together. Fire Station 10 is continuing. It's finished feasibility study and is about to go into detailed design so that we can get through site plan review. and is scheduled as shown. Gas pool work, there's an amount of plumbing work that needs to be done. The plumbing is actually failing. That work will be done, of course, after the summer season ends, and there will be finished work involved as well, and to get that done so that the pool can open again next summer. Bigelow Stairs is in design right now, and again, that's a challenging one to schedule because of the need to actually shut down the entrance when we figure out the proper egress and get it done while the majority of that work while the students aren't there. Communication Tower Building, as I mentioned, is one that was originally slated to be included in FY12. That's for a small project. It's a complex project, and that will be coming through shortly, or in the fall rather, for site plan review, and then the construction will follow the following, what do I have it, spring. Water infiltration is both at Oak Hill and at Countryside. We're working with DPW on engineering those solutions. They've had ongoing water infiltration issues that we're seeking to address through both some grading and drainage, working with the drainage. Bowen Masonry is another location where we've had masonry separation. That one is in investigation right now, and we'll be moving forward with construction next summer. And then the Craft Street Garage. So these are really the bonded projects. The next page, and again, the items in red are projects that have already been docketed. And this is other funding sources. And again, they're lined up so you can see the planned schedule at this point. Of course, it says tentative and draft because as we move through the projects, schedules may shift. Again, we've got forestry equipment purchase that's coming out of the Chestnut Hill funding. And street, so you have the street paving. Your previous packet had all the list of streets for you. Drain work, I'm just trying to... So the one that I did want to highlight, which is an addition, we were recently notified that there was funding available to add a lift to the war memorial. So that's actually included in here. The CDBG funds are being set aside for that project. It's still got to go through the proper approvals, but that was a project that has been added. The others did not change, let me see. And then the two CPA eligible projects that are listed at the bottom, based on their timing for when funds can be available, their calendar, and we're working very closely together trying to tie the CIP calendar more closely with the CPC calendar. So this schedule really reflects that calendar, the CPC calendar, to make funds available. Okay, now we do have, that was that one. As Bob mentioned, the planning horizon, of course, has been extended. These are some highlights, and the energy consequence will be added in October. And I think that's the end. That's it, yep. So I'll open it up for questions if you have.
Okay. Before I start calling on folks for questions, what I need people to be thinking about is I realize that our CIP is now a document that is constantly evolving and is constantly being reviewed throughout the year, which I think is just dandy keen, yes. All right? But the problem is that if we're going to be in compliance with the charter, at some point we have to take a vote on a five-year plan. All right. And this, so, which I would have liked to have done in November, but because we're evolving and reviewing, we didn't do it then. But we need to at some point vote on the five-year plan. Now, whether that's tonight or at a subsequent committee of the whole meeting, we need to take a vote. I have a feeling that people are going to have questions. Public facilities is taking up public buildings later this week, and I know that some of you may have resolutions. So as much as I would like to vote this tonight, I think we're probably not going to be able to. But again, we will need to do that in a future committee of the whole. So as far as I can tell at this point, what is in front of us is docket item 383-11, notice the 11, because that is the item that was docketed back in either October or November. It is based on this document that we all received, and as amended, I would say, by this document and whatever other resolutions we get into as a board. So at some point here in one of our committee of the whole discussions, we need to take a vote on this as amended by this and as further amended by any and all resolutions that the board puts forth. But as far as tonight goes, I realize that we're not going to be ready to do that. So realize that you have some time if you want to put together a resolution, you know, to submit to the mayor's office. All right. So having said that, questions? Alderman Crossley.
Thank you, Chairman Gentile. I appreciate your comment about needing to sort of identify a moment in time where we're clear about what's before us tonight. But I want to say, first of all, that I'm so pleased about where we are at this moment. I have found this process to be very stimulating, and also I agree very much with those who say that it offers us a framework for a much more constructive conversation about our public facilities. Alderman Salvucci and I very recently had a meeting with the members of the building department, and we were able to work from the, I don't know if you all remember the memo that Stephanie gave us a couple of weeks ago. Things are constantly evolving, but she's also constantly summarizing where we are in time. And I think this work is going in a tremendous direction, and it's so clear to me anyway, you know, what it is in here that it makes it easier and easier to troubleshoot it for what maybe still isn't in here. And I appreciate that because I think it gives us a better view. So I want to also mention a couple of things that I think are still a little tougher to see. One that I keep bringing up, and I'm not sure how it can be put on the table, but all those projects that are worth less than $75,000, which are capital projects, but they're not part of a capital improvement plan because they're too small and they're being handled in some other way. They're either part of a department's budget or they're being handled as work orders through the building department, and I'm sure you all have your eye on them. I'm told that all of those projects were also listed by the consultants that we hired, but we're not able to see them yet, and I also realize it's a larger volume of material, but where we can see very nicely a list of larger projects and beginning to get a clear idea. I think one of your challenges is to get us all on the same page that you're on, because there's a lot of different projects happening here. Those little projects, which can be very important to a department or a building and to various users, need some kind of a way of tracking those that we can all see. I also want to make a comment about in-house staff needs. It's clear that the administration, and I think we're all eager to the extent that we can fund it, ramp up our capital improvements, that our buildings are in dire shape. We all know that. Now we have this great assessment tool, and there is one new person coming into the buildings department, a much-needed additional project manager. But we started to have some of these conversations and just wanted to put it out on the table that we don't have any in-house field personnel, for example, to oversee work out in the field. And we're talking about having so much on the table at once, especially assuming we might get some of this additional funding that the public might help us out with so we can do Anger and the fire station. There's going to be a lot going on, so I just wanted to throw that out there. But I think generally I think these are excellent documents, gives us a lot to chew on, and I'm really pleased to be going in this direction. Thank you.
Alderman Yates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would agree with your description of the process that we should follow. The big, thick document as modified by tonight's handout as modified by any further resolutions. And as to the question of the evolution of the CIP, I think we should look to the staff as demonstrating intelligent design of the CIP in this case. I do have some questions, however. The City Hall Veterans Wing, that doesn't include the lift, which is a separate project, right? What else is in there?
It's mechanical upgrades, some electrical upgrades, some finish upgrades, reconfiguring the space to allow for the ramp addition, and that's really what's in that project. The lift is separate. It's about $80,000 for just the lift and finishes in that area.
Would any of that be CPA eligible? Because I think the War Memorial and City Hall are definitely CDBG eligible.
Well, the lift is being funded with CDBG funds.
Right.
I actually did, when we were originally putting together the scope of work, I did talk to Alice Ingerson about whether or not that would be eligible. It kind of fell in a little bit of a gray area. We're upgrading it for a modern purpose, which is eligible. It's certainly the ramp could be CDBG eligible.
Okay. A further question, that's fine.
Okay.
As to a docketed item, I believe the CPC has docketed $134,000 for the Civil War Memorial. Should that be included?
That's actually FY12. That's why
it's
not included here.
You still got FY12 money? Oh, good.
Apparently.
Okay. All right.
That's actually moving through the process now.
Okay. But we don't need to modify this to include that, but it's...
No, it's not in the FY13 to FY17, although the construction work may be happening in an overlap time frame.
All right. So I assume then that the same thing would be true for the last steps of the burial grounds?
The burial grounds are slated, and I don't have that over, I believe they're FY14.
Okay, would that be in the big book?
In the big book is none of the CPA projects are identified in terms of their fiscal year.
Yeah.
I've been working with Alice and the administration in terms of how we'll move forward in applying for funding, keeping in mind the total amount of funding that can be available for historic resources in any given year. And that project, so I will be actually presenting to the CPC the kind of bigger picture of how we'll be moving forward over the next few years with applying for CPA funds. And I believe that the burial grounds, there's actually two burial grounds projects, and one, I believe, is in FY14 and the next one in FY15, I believe.
Okay.
I'm doing that from memory, so.
That's fine. And I would assume your department will do the pre-proposals for the July 1st deadline?
I'm working, so I will be packaging the pre-proposals, but of course drawing on expertise from the preservation planner and other departments. But yes, it will come together in one package to be submitted.
Sure. Okay, that's fine. I am glad to see the City Hall windows CPA eligible. That makes perfect sense to me, but I'm kind of puzzled to see the car windows as CPA eligible. I don't recall, God forbid anyone who's a car graduate here, but I don't recall that building as being listed as of that much historic significance.
So it's interesting. As part of the overall assessment of all our city buildings, CPA, the CPC gave us CPA funds to do a historic assessment of every city building.
Mm-hmm.
That document, both phase one and phase two, results of that are all posted on the website now. CAR, given its age and details, is listed as, I want to say it's given a ranking of 2 out of 4, one being the highest. And the windows are actually quite large, not, you know, too different from these when you actually step back and look at them.
Oh, good.
So we are, and I'll be in discussions with the CPC about whether they could provide that funding for the windows to augment that project. And to get that done at the same time, that would be the goal, to get them done somewhat at the same time.
Both of those appear to be physically listed as both the planning and the starting in, I guess it is 2013, that would be right. Okay. Oh, no, one last thing. What happened to the solar farm on the Flowed Meadow?
So it hasn't gone away, but what we've done on the solar PPA project, we were originally negotiating with one firm. We could not reach an agreement with them. We've now moved on to the next firm, which is Ameresco. And the scope of work that was in that project to develop a solar project did not include Flowed Meadow. So we have to keep within, because we're working from that request for proposals, we have to keep within that scope of work. But it hasn't gone away, and I know that Maciej is also looking at the potential to place solar on other sites. What we've learned through the process is that you need, at a minimum, you need to be able to have enough area to have 1 megawatt. Otherwise, these companies that come in and do this, it's not worth it for them. So I don't believe we've had that analysis done for Flowed Meadow, but I know that Maciej is looking at that.
Should the solar projects be included in the revised CIP that we adopt?
That's an interesting question. It's
you can think about it. It's a take-home question.
Yeah. It's other funding. We're not putting out funding.
But it is physically changing
something, so that's an interesting question.
Well, you can think
whether
about it.
Can, which
Thank you.
Included.
Alderman Albright.
Thank you. So I was trying to crosswalk between the current projects and the original Big Book, and I noticed that there was a large masonry project at the Ward School, which is not, and Bowen was below it, but that one got skipped. Why is that?
Correct. So that project was actually phased over multiple years. And given that we've had some good masonry bids, we've been able to address the most critical elements of masonry at the Ward School. So that is one of the projects that actually dropped out. And if you look at the updated document that you received, I believe it was April 17th, 13th or 17th, that's listed as one of the projects that actually came off.
Because you were able to address it?
Because we've been able to address it.
Okay.
And so, therefore, we were anticipating doing it over 3 years. It's now being done actually over 2 years. So that dropped off. The other project that dropped off the list is replacing the emergency generator at the library.
Mm-hmm.
We anticipated having to replace it, but then we were actually able to have our service contractor do some work on it and repair it to the point where we're anticipating having at least, you know, 5 to 10 years more out of it. So that project has dropped off the list.
Okay,
as well.
So that was in this memo that came later in April.
Yes.
But it's no longer on the list of projects.
Correct. It's not in the 5 years right now.
So, you know, I was looking, well, now I'm not sure what I'm, whether, so in this memo from April, there were a bunch of school projects listed without naming the school. Would they be, you know, it says school building masonry repairs, school building mechanical upgrades.
Yeah, okay. The,
it was, I think they are listed.
The list that shows FY13 projects should have school names. There are eight, let me just verify this, there are eight school projects totaling approximately $16.37 million. And essentially those are the projects that we've always done, these infrastructure projects. We have boilers, we have some masonry, we have some the water issues.
So are those the ones listed in your handout tonight?
Yes.
So they would be not Burr, because that's somewhere else, but
in the spreadsheet, just for in order to fit everything on one page, I did combine them. Lincoln Elliott and Burr are actually listed separately. So they're both there. The school, I can tell you, let me see. School water infiltration is Countryside and Oak Hill. That was two projects that I've just, for convenience,
you put them together.
Put them together here. So
I was just wondering, in order to keep this document, the big document, a living document, would it be possible to add another column of where it is currently in progress?
You know, status.
Yeah, status of the project.
Yes, it's, in truth, that's how I actually use the document. I do have another column that has status for my own purposes and for our discussions with the CIP working group.
But the one that the people have access to on the website doesn't have that, so that'd be great.
You're talking about the status design construction?
Yeah.
Is really just,
I mean, you could have a key and...
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that wouldn't be too difficult to add.
Thanks.
Alderman Sangiolo.
At some point, can we get a write-up for each of these projects that will say exactly what the intent is, like the scope of the project?
Yes, as part of the docketed materials. You have all of that information.
Right, but for the new ones that have not been docketed yet, can we get a write-up before we actually have to go and vote on on the CIP? And also, are you going to, during the public buildings meeting on Thursday, go into detail about some of these other projects? I'm only looking at the time.
So which project? I'm sorry?
So most of these projects, are you going to go into detail on this during that budget discussion? Because I'm just looking at the time, and I think we still have a full board meeting.
Yes, that's the intent, is to go through the CIP projects in a little bit more detail.
Okay, because I'm very interested in hearing what the total cost of the Lower Falls Community Center accessibility project will end up being.
What the total cost will end up being?
Will end up being.
It's currently budgeted for $300,000.
For the total of the city side?
Design and construction.
For the city side cost. Plus, that's not including the grant that we've
got. Yes, okay. Correct.
Okay, Alderman Fishman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You mentioned to Alderman Albright about the Countryside and Oak Hill, which you joined together. And I saw in the most recent compendium that it was actually $100,000 for each.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I wondered why you perhaps weren't starting that even earlier, and it looks like it finishes, you know, in next summer, I guess, for the new year, for the academic 2013. So I'm just wondering if that's, you know, an important thing, why that sort of wouldn't be even pushed up further. But.
So you want to come talk to this as well? Josh is here as well. We are working with DPW on that, and if we are able to do it this summer, we will be doing it this summer. At the outside, it'll be next summer. I don't know if you have anything else you want
to
add.
So the key to those two problems is correcting it before we get into the spring flood season. We really, we
did well this spring between not having a lot of snow and a relatively dry spring as well. So yes, as Stephanie said, the intent is to get on this as soon as possible. Engineering has already taken a look at these problems, and then it's just a matter of fitting it into the summer construction schedule. The water infiltration issues we've had at both schools has never occurred during the summer, so the goal is to get it done as soon as possible, but to fit it in there.
Okay, Alderman Lappin.
Thank you. We're working off of three different documents right now, and if you want us to be able to vote, we should have one document, and I think if possible, if that could include not only the additional projects, but the projects that have been taken off,
mm-hmm.
the projects that have been moved up or moved back for some reason. I don't know how you can identify that, but somehow.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really helpful because it's hard to figure out what we're voting on. I just wanted to point out one thing that I'm disappointed to see not there anymore, and that was number 28 from document number 1, which is installing a citywide IT data network. And I understand that there is that was taken off because there is a proposed alternate funding source. I know this isn't
So on the updates, yeah, it hasn't dropped off the list. It's just the funding source has changed.
Right. But so that's not bonding, so that's not part of it. If the $500,000 that was on here initially for bonding was still there, the additional funding source, if it's possible to use that, would allow us to finish the project in a year, or maybe two rather than three. So, anyway, I just wanted to point that out because it's not clear that this other funding source will be able to use. So I would hate for this just to disappear. Because Bob Rooney talked about infrastructure and how we're investing in all this, and our technology infrastructure is the basis for what we need, and we will eventually save money when we get this installed. So that's just like the sewers. If that's why we decided to go with the sewers, because we would get a payback. Well, there's a payback here too. So.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, that is absolutely a very important project. So the only reason that it has been adjusted is because of the alternative funding source. The IT Advisory Committee put out requests for proposals. We have a consultant that they have selected, the consultant has been selected, and so what we need is for someone now to come in and actually design the fiber system for us. So that is absolutely moving forward.
Okay.
I mean, we held it in finance, right?
We held it in finance for
the purpose of revisiting this hopefully as early as June.
Right. But it's not clear that funding source is going to be one we can use, so I don't want to lose this CIP funding.
We do have a legal opinion that we can use that funding source.
Okay, I read it differently, but that's okay. I just want to make sure that we don't, if for some reason we can't use that is included in the CIP.
Okay, Alderman Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This really is a genuine question. I don't know if it's a Bob Rooney question or a Maureen Lemieux question. Talk a little bit big picture. We've decided to invest $19.7 million of bonding of our own next year in these capital projects. Is that enough? Should we have, in fact, we have, by your
numbers. We have $251 million of projects. We're only doing $132 million over the 5 years. We know that other AAA communities are investing more of their operating budgets in debt service. Should we, in fact, take, you name the number, $8 million, $2 million out of current operations and invest them in longer-term capital projects? Or talk a little bit priorities and big picture for a minute.
Thank you. If I may, Mr. Chairman, I think especially after these last few weeks as a board, you have all been meeting, reviewing our FY13 budget. We are very proud of what we put in front of you this year. We believe that we are really trying to make progress throughout the city. Operationally, we know that in the school department we have had over 600 additional students join our schools in the last 5 or so years. We have another 750 students coming soon. Those students do not come without costs attached to them. Our police department, our fire department, we are trying to do everything we can to really maintain an appropriate level of staffing. We, the other night when public safety spoke with both the police and the fire departments, I think we all know that we probably should be adding some personnel in the police department. We look at public works. We're trying to do more roads. We certainly have the plan for the water and sewer. We've put a nominal amount of money in to begin to set money aside for OPEB. We are trying to do everything. In a perfect world, might we be putting more money toward capital? I think we would. But the problem is that we have a revenue cap here. That's what Proposition 2.5 is a revenue cap. And so our pie of revenue is only so large. And so what we really have struggled with is what are the most pressing needs, what are the things that we need to fund to go back to, if you go back to our 8 outcomes. If we want excellence in education, if we want unparalleled public safety, if we want environmental sustainability, if we want community engagement, if we want economic development, if we want long-term financial stability, and if we want to improve our infrastructure, I'm not sure if I got all 8 of them or not, but if we want to do all of those things, it's a balancing act. And so what we have structured for a 5-year plan is to have 5% of our budget go toward debt service. It's more than it ever was. Is it 7% as many AAA communities do? No. But at least it's more than it was, and we're trying to move everything forward, and it's a balancing act.
The question is no.
Right.
The long version.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, we've spent a lot of time trying to evaluate what is the right number. We've asked some capital investment people that manage real estate all the time. I've been around construction a lot, so I know the cost of building something. However, to maintain it is a whole different kettle of fish. It's a different paradigm that we need to look at, that both at the local level and at the state level and at the federal level, we don't do a good job at, because it's not the sexy thing to throw money at when it's not, you know, an urgent need. I'll take Newton North, brand new school, pushing on $200 million. The rule of thumb is 2 to 3% should be put into that facility per year. Do the math. We're not even close. And so what it tells me is that, number one, we need more money in maintenance. The operational budget maintenance should actually, if you remember the presentation on the deterioration curve, if we can hit those facilities with maintenance and keep them from deteriorating, then we don't have these big capital costs in the end. And then secondly, you know, as we build new structures, we need to think about the impact on our budget. A lot of new equipment and things, we found that out in the first year, that we
we were so high-tech at that school, we needed to hire someone that understood how to manage those facilities that are very different than they are when they were built in the 1930s. So it's a great question. We're wrestling with it, and I know the CFO likes to slam the door on that. I like to talk about growing the pie and push back to try to get more funds for the facilities.
All set?
If I could, just two other ones. This, again, might be a Maureen question. The amount of money in the five-year CIP in year one, fiscal year 2013, is dramatically higher, I think, than what we can actually spend by the fifth year. So talk a little, but I'm not sure I'm reading the numbers correctly. So make
Well, what we actually have, we've had several conversations about this over the last few days. What the Public Buildings Commissioner has tried to do is put before you a plan of when we will be coming to you asking for you to authorize spending. And so there's a little bit of a disconnect between when you may authorize spending and when we may actually issue the debt. So we will be asking you for all of the money for Day and for the Carr School. We won't be bonding them as quickly. We only bond in April, and in April we will only bond for any funds that we've committed through that following June. So there's a little bit of a, you can't put one plan next to the other and expect the numbers to add up.
And one last question, which in a way I apologize for, but let me ask anyway. So we've got a five-year funding plan of $132 million. Am I right that it actually doesn't include Anger and Fire Station 3, so two very high-priority, very expensive projects are not in the plan?
Stephanie's the one that, sorry.
They're not in the funding plan.
They're not in the funding
plan. They're not in my funding
correct.
Plan.
They're in the overall 5-year.
So when we vote on a CIP 5-year plan, we're not voting. It's disconnected from the... So I'm not sure what we're... everything else, you actually have a funding source and a plan to fund. So it's just a little, I'm not exactly sure what we're voting. We're voting to, that these are the priorities, but that we're not.
I think that once you get beyond year one, it's really more about prioritizing than it is. In FY13, you know, we know that we're being asked for these funds, but beyond that, you know, as we've been saying all night, things change. So we all know what one possible funding plan is, but that still has to be discussed and investigated. But if we go in that direction, then the projects will move forward. If that is successful, if not, then you will see, I imagine, a lot of changes to years 2, 3, 4, and subsequently 5. So,
thank you.
It's a point well taken, but you're really just voting priorities beyond year one. Alderman Johnson, and then Alderman Kalish.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of things. Just in response to Alderman Fuller's question regarding the big picture, I just want to compliment Maureen. I, in my heart of hearts, think that if Maureen had been a CFO many years ago, we would not be where we are today. Because those of you who have been on the board prior to the Warren administration, we never had a CIP. We had some sort of a document. I'm not sure what it was, maybe a wish list. And I am so impressed with the work that you all have done. I'm not going to repeat all the words, but I agree 100% with Alderman Crossley. So I think we also, in Maureen's response to Alderman Fuller, we have to remember that a lot of things didn't happen, and you're not going to turn a ship around in a bathtub in a day. Didn't get there in a day. And we have people in this community of varying incomes, and we need to keep that in mind. So I think they have taken a big picture view. There's a lot on that table, and we have to really look at our priorities, because with our fiduciary hats on, as well as really understanding how much can this community take. On the other hand, on the CIP document, Maureen, I believe I probably was maybe back in February, I'm not sure, maybe earlier this year, when you came and presented, and we had multiple documents, and I believe I asked exactly what Alderman Albright was asked, to have something maintained in one source there should be one source documentation. There's a word that the finance people use, and I can't think of it, sole source or something, anyway, so that we know kind of what's happened. And so I hope that that can be done, and that doesn't need to be printed and given to us, but it should be on the website, because what you have in the handouts, we do, there's a column, because I remember I asked that, and so there are notes, but if things change and update, we need to have that, and there's just one document. You may print things out for us in meetings, but we all should be able to go to that website and have everything we need. So if we could please get that, as I said, I'm quite certain I asked for that earlier this year. Thank you.
Okay. David?
If you do go to the CIP website, there's a document that says it's the revised version as of April 17th, and you'll see, for example, the library generator project is still listed, and it's highlighted in red, and there's no funding next to it. So that is really where you'll find the most recent document. I think initially we were thinking we could update it monthly. It's probably going to be a little bit less frequently, but
are the comments on the website? I don't think so. That's what I'm saying.
You may be right.
You are very well versed. You probably know that. You probably recite it at night. I can't. Okay? And where things are happening, what's happening, and how things shift. So I think, and also the citizens, they're not going to know it inside and out. So I think it would do you well, and then you don't get the inane questions from us.
That's a good point. Thank you. And I think it goes along with Alderman Albright's suggestion of the status also.
Alderman Taylor.
So, thank you, Chair. So, Stephanie, Bob, Maureen, I see a lot of design and construction all happening, design happening at the same time, construction happening at the same time. My question is, what do we do in the city to find efficiencies across some of these projects, especially in design or in construction? I understand these are separate bids, but I want to see if there's any ways that, you know, how you think about it in terms of trying to find efficiencies to make our dollars stretch even further.
That's a good question. We think about that all the time. And I have to say that in the public buildings department, we have a really great team, and we work very collaboratively. We all have different strengths, and there's a lot of sharing of knowledge on, for example, the sprinkler project that the modulars, once the modulars were bid and we understood that information, that gets incorporated into the day school project, that knowledge. So there's a lot of just sort of in-house collaboration. We are, as I don't remember who it was that mentioned it, maybe it was Alderman Crossley, looking at the potential of having someone in the field, because as we have all these projects going on, it's a big task to keep on top of the construction and make sure that everything's really on schedule and happening as it should be. So that's one of the things that we're looking at. I hope that answers your question. Those are the two areas where we're really looking.
Before I get back to our repeaters, first on the list, Brian. Anyway, I'd like to get to the public hearing portion of the evening for the capital improvement project. So is there any member of the public who would like to comment or testify on the CIP for FY13 to FY17, which is docket item 383-11? Okay, seeing none, I will declare the public hearing closed. Okay, again, we're not going to vote on this tonight, so, and we do have a full board meeting to get to after this, I hope people realize. Let's take some other questions, and then the only other thing I want to suggest is that don't necessarily wait till the night that we decide to discuss this again in Committee of the Whole. If you have resolutions, it probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. President, but it would probably be helpful if those resolutions brought in as soon as possible, especially so they could be shared with the administration. Alderman Yates, you still have any questions?
Yes. Well, one comment, one question. To try to set Alderman Fuller's mind at ease a little bit, I think it's appropriate to look at the CIP as being the authorization of projects, but the docketing and the further process as being the appropriation of money for the projects. So we shouldn't have any appropriations presented for something that wasn't authorized in the CIP, but just being authorized in the CIP doesn't mean you're going to get money to do it. Secondly, what Josh and the commissioner said about the water infiltration at Oak Hill and Countryside, I was pleased to hear they were working with DPW, but I'd say they should work with the Conservation Commission as well. And I would even suggest you take a look at the 1892 list of areas needing drainage, and I would bet you would find both of those schools plunk in the middle of them, and that might be the cause that we now have to deal with since we foolishly built in the middle of areas needing drainage.
Okay, I'm going to ask for a motion to hold. I have, unless somebody else has a question, I just have one quick question, and then I'll ask for the motion. This is for either Stephanie or Maureen. Are there any projects that were presented to us back in November for FY13 or may have been mentioned at one of our updates that are no longer on the list, other than the things that you have described that dropped off because you were able to address them in another way? Did anything get bumped so that something could be added? I just want to make sure that, you know, because I don't want to all of a sudden find out 3 months from now that something got bumped and I was not aware of it.
There's been a little bit of sort of the estimates going up, the estimates going down. Those two projects came off. The IT funds are coming from other sources, but no, nothing has dropped off since.
All right, is there a motion? Go ahead.
I'd be pleased to give the motion, but I just have a comment to make first.
Sure. So there's a motion to hold, and there's discussion. Go right ahead.
I wonder if Commissioner Gilman could, although you've just agreed to make available sort of a synopsis of each measure narrative, it occurred to me as I was listening to you and you're talking about an additional $1.5 million for these energy efficiency projects, that discussion came before public facilities, but the rest of the board and certainly the public hasn't heard it. And the quick version, I wonder if you could give the quick version as to why we are where we are with those projects. It's a really very quick version, but that you've changed course, and also that money is coming from the Energy Stabilization Fund, but it's also meant to be a self-supporting project. If you could just mention that.
Certainly. I'll give you the brief version. As many people are aware, we went and completed two phases of energy conservation measures, and it was a third phase investment grade audit that was performed. Upon review of that audit, we determined that although impressive, there was much more that we could do. And in addition to that, the overhead and profit, including the project or including the management of that phase three, was more than we felt was financially feasible. Not necessarily more money than we wanted to spend, but more money than we wanted to spend on management and profit. Because of that, and additionally with taking on Maciej Konieczny in our department, who is our sustainability state project manager, providing us more in-house project management for energy conservation measures. We felt it was necessary to look at other options. The option that we looked at, evaluated, and are currently pursuing is the preferred vendor program through the utility companies. This is a program whereby, through Chapter 25, we're capable of performing energy conservation measures with set overhead and profit margins through the utility companies using their on-call design firms as well as their on-call vendors. Basically, we get the same work, but more comprehensive, done for a lot less money. We have completed the energy conservation study at the main library and the Cabot School. They're finalizing those documents, and then we're moving on from there. Monte did a great job at going through and identifying our worst offenders, if you will, from a building standpoint, based on consumption per square foot, and then that's how we're tackling them. We're working with the executive office and NSTAR directly to maximize the efficiency of this project, as well as accelerate as much as possible to help meet our goals as a green community, as well as the mayor's goals for Energy Smart Newton.
Thank you. I just want to note that Josh has an uncanny way of packing a lot of information into a short period of time. Thank you.
Committee of the Whole, is a motion to hold. Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? All right, motion passes unanimously.
Is there a motion to adjourn out of Committee of the Whole? So moved. Is there a second? All those in favor say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We are now out of Committee of the Whole. At this point in time, first of all, I would like to thank the Chairman of Finance for running an excellent Committee of the Whole. I think we got a lot accomplished in a decent period of time. And we will finish our budget discussions starting on 2 weeks from this evening, and then we will also have a committee of the whole that evening. So at this point in time, I did want to say that this is a... Where's my cheat sheet, David? Thank you. At this point in time, so we are beginning our board meeting a little bit later this evening after we did have our scheduled public hearings on the fiscal year 13-17 capital improvement plan and our hearings on the water sewer rates. So at this time, I'll recognize Alderman Danberg, who will open the board meeting by leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag, United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Newton Board of Aldermen for Monday, May the 7th. On your desks this evening that was utilized earlier was a letter from the League of Women Voters supporting the proposed water sewer rates, and there is also our annual appeal for the Aldermanic Scholarship Fund. That is on everyone's desk this evening. Let me see. Next month, we will be presenting the two $1,000 scholarships, one to a senior from North and one to a senior from South. And your contributions to the Aldermanic Scholarship Fund make this all possible. There is a return envelope in there as well. That will be done next month, David, in which board meeting in June? We haven't scheduled you yet, but it will be at one of the meetings in June. Okay. Just a reminder that if you would like to reserve a spot at the Alderman's table at the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast on May the 23rd, please check in with David Olson. And just want to make everybody aware that this meeting is being both audio and video recorded this evening. Okay, at this point in time, I'll begin with the first call of reports. I'll recognize the Chairman of the Land Use Committee, Alderman Hesmahan. Thank you, Mr. President. There is no written report. However, I would move suspension of the rules to report out an item for which there is no written report. A motion has been made and seconded to suspend the rules so that the Chairman of Land Use can report out an item that they met on earlier this evening with no formal report. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Please go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Earlier this evening, the Land Use Committee met in a special meeting on docket item number 81-12, Wobbin Improvement Society, requesting a temporary license pursuant to Section 30-6K of the City of Newton Ordinances to hold its 8th annual Wobbin Village Day on Sunday, May 20, 2012. The committee voted 6-0 to approve that item, and that is the report of the Land Use Committee. I would ask at this time to be recognized to assign a public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you again, Mr. President. On page 105 of tonight's docket, a public hearing to be assigned for June 12, 2012. Petition number 118-12, Zori and Inbal Rabinowitz, petition for a special permit site plan approval to construct a new single-family dwelling with a floor area ratio of 0.28, where 0.26 is allowed by right at 150 Countryside Road, Ward 8, on land known as SBL 83-36-39, containing approximately 25,000 square feet of land in a district zone single residence 1. And that is the report of the Land Use Committee this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next, I have the Zoning and Planning Committee, chaired by Alderman Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is no report this evening.
Thank you very much. Next, I have the Programs and Services Committee, chaired by Alderman Sangiolo.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins on page 99. First item to report out is item number 84-12, His Honor the Mayor, requesting that the Board accept General Laws, Chapter 138, Section 33B, to allow the Board of License Commissioners to grant the sale of alcoholic beverages on Sundays starting at 10 a.m. That was approved by a vote of 5-0. The next item is item number 96-12. Alderman Albright and Hess Mahan requesting that Article 1, Section 3.1 of the Board of Aldermen Rules and Orders of 2012 to 2013 be amended to provide for the referral to the Land Use Committee of community housing projects recommended for funding by the Community Preservation Committee. That was approved as amended by a vote of 7-0. And that concludes the report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe you have a late file docket item to accept on page 106. Item 124-12.
124-12, Marjorie Butler, 33.
I want to request the suspension of the rules.
I'd like to request the suspension of the rules to accept the docket item that's been late filed.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Second, to suspend the rules to accept the late file docket item. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Just if you could read it into the record, please. Thank you.
Item number 124-12, Marjorie Butler of 33 Andrew Street, Newton Highlands, appointed as a member of the Election Commission for a term of office to expire March 31st, 2013. Mr. President, is this for the Democratic seat?
I'm not sure, Madam Chair. Again, it's going to be referred to committee, so I'm assuming we could clarify that when it gets to, before it gets taken up in committee.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your reports. Next, we have the Public Safety and Transportation Committee, and the report will be given by Vice Chair Alderman Harney.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins on page 100. Let's see, docket 279, that was held. Docket item 78-12, His Honor the Mayor proposing amendments to section 19-9 and 19-199 of the City of Newton Revised Ordinances 2007 to increase the penalties for handicap parking violations in section 19-9 and to clarify that handicap parking violation penalties apply not only to spaces on public ways, but also to handicapped spaces on private property open to public access in accordance with section 19-1 19-199 to update language in Section 19-199 regulating minimum width of handicap spaces to add language pertaining to crosshatch areas as required by state law and to reference governing architectural access board regulations. Mr. President, the chairman has asked that this item be held, so I'd like to ask for suspension of the rules to poll my committee to change this from approval to hold.
A motion has been made and seconded to suspend the rules to poll the committee to actually change the vote of the committee from approved to hold. As many of you are witnessing, the chairman is not here this evening. He's had another procedure done to his off-injured knee, and he wasn't able to come, and hopefully he's at home resting comfortably. We have a couple members on injured reserve, so I was going to recognize all of them before the end of the evening. But he said he had some more information, and I relayed that to the vice chairman, so he'd like to share that information with the committee. So a motion has been made and seconded so that the vice chairman could poll the committee. All those in favor of suspension of the rules will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. You can poll the committee.
Okay, Mr. Vice Chairman. Poll the committee. All in favor of voting hold on this item? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And opposed? 2 absent?
Okay. Passes. The item is held.
And for all the Mr. Coney's benefit, in his honor, I was going to charter this item, but instead I took the alternate course. So hope you're feeling better, Alderman Ciccone. Docket item 233-11, Alderman Crossley, Yates, and Rice, requesting a discussion with the Mass Department of Conservation and Recreation regarding design and location of the recently created pedestrian access from Quinnipiquin Road to the revised DCR trail parallel to the Charles River, where pedestrians are concealed and unprotected from oncoming traffic, and further to consider redesign and or relocation to make access points to the trail safe for both pedestrians and drivers. And this was voted no action necessary, and that concludes the report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vice Chairman. Next, I have the Public Facilities Committee, and the report will be given by the Vice Chair, Alderman Crossley.
Thank you, Mr. President. The report begins on page 101. His Honor, with item number 105-12, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate the sum of $170,000 from the Stormwater Reserve account for the purpose of removing sediment from the three basins of the City Hall ponds. That item was approved 301. Next item is item number 97-12, where I would like permission to poll the committee after reading the item into the record and describing a minor modification to the text.
Okay.
Item 97-12 is the Public Buildings Commissioner recommending that Article 3, Designer Selection Committee, Section 5-35, established purpose of the City of Newton Revised Ordinances of 2007 be amended to clarify the role of the Designer Selection Committee and to permit alternative methods to secure design services when required to use such methods by state or federal law or regulation. That item was approved 6-0. However, in the following committee meeting of the 558 committee, it was observed by former Alderman Schnipper that there is some gender-specific language in the item as drafted, and then it was observed by Solicitor Juita Young that the clause in which that took place was not necessary and, in fact, redundant. So the clause was stricken. Would you like me to read the first two sentences to clarify that?
Yeah, why don't we suspend the rules in order to take this up? You're going to end up polling the committee?
Yes.
Okay. So why don't we make a motion to suspend the rules? Is there a second so that we could clarify some language and then have the committee substitute their vote with that amended language? So we want to get that up on the screen
so
that everyone could see it?
The last page of the Public Facilities Committee report that has this language.
Do we want to bring that up? Why don't we make a motion to lay this item on the table? Motion is made, second to lay this on the table. We'll report out the other items and we'll get the language up on the screen. Is that okay? Is there a motion to it made and seconded to lay this item on the table? All in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll go on to the next item.
Thank you. Item number 113-12, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate the sum of $300,000 for bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding Phase 1, which is evaluation, hazardous material testing, code review, and schematic design for the Carr School renovations. That item was approved 6-0. And item number 367-10, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate an amount not to exceed $5 million.
Madam Vice Chair, that Programs and Services Committee still needs to meet on that item. So that doesn't need to be reported out.
We don't report our vote?
Until they meet on it, then we'll have all three committees reported out.
Okay, fine. Then I'd like to be recognized to assign a public hearing.
Please go ahead.
I can find it. I'd like to assign a public hearing for June 6, 2012, for item number 126-12. His Honor the Mayor requesting that a portion of Christina Street be laid out, graded, and accepted as a public way from Needham Street to the property line at 90 Christina Street, a distance of 1,020 feet, to be the width of 40 feet. And this is in Ward 8.
Great. Thank you very much. The clerk is going to work on getting that language up on the screen so that members can see it, and we'll leave that item on the table. At this time, what I'll do is I'll come back to you. I'm going to recognize the chairman of Finance, Alderman Gentile, to give his report.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee report begins on page 102. The following items were voted at our meeting of Monday, April the 23rd. 89-12, His Honor the Mayor submitting the final report from the IT Advisory Committee for presentation to the Board of Aldermen. This item was voted no action necessary by a vote of 8-0. 113-12, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate the sum of $300,000 from bonded indebtedness for the purpose of funding Phase 1 of the Carr School renovations. This item was approved by a vote of 7-0. Docket item 100-12, the Comptroller recommending a one-year extension of the financial audit contract to June 30, 2013. Based upon the same terms as the existing four-year agreement, this item was approved by a vote of 7-0. 105-12, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate the sum of $170,000 from the Stormwater Reserve account for the purpose of removing sediment from the three basins of the City Hall ponds. This item was approved by a vote of 5 in favor with 2 abstentions. At our meeting of Monday, April the 30th, 101-12, His Honor the Mayor requesting authorization to appropriate the sum of $25,000 from free cash for the purpose of funding design costs as part of a larger construction project for Lower Falls Community Center required to bring the structure into compliance with accessibility requirements. This item was voted and approved by a vote of 6-0. And Mr. President, I would ask for a suspension of the rules so that I may give a report on an item that was taken up earlier this evening for which there is no written report.
Okay, there's a motion that's been made. Is there a second? This is to take up an item with no previous report in the committee of the whole this evening on the water sewer rates. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Docket item 383-11, parens 3, His Honor the Mayor submitting recommended FY 2013 water and sewer rates for implementation on July 1st, 2012. There was a committee of the whole meeting earlier this evening. There was a presentation by the administration and members of the Public Works Department, particularly Water and Sewer. With regard to the proposed rates, there were a number of questions that were asked by members of the board. In addition, there was a public hearing that was held in which one member of the public offered comment. And eventually there was a motion made to approve the rates as recommended by the mayor in a letter to us dated April the 9th. The item was approved unanimously by voice vote with three members absent.
Mr. Chairman, did you want to read the new rates into the record?
No, if you'd like me to. The new rates, again, we have a three-tiered system. And again, as was discussed in the committee meeting, the HCFs are by quarter. So for a particular quarter, if you fall in the tier of 0 to 20 HCFs of water use, your rate would be $5.62, and the sewer rate would be $8.28. If the HCFs are 21 to 70, then the water rate would be $6.74, and the sewer rate would be $9.94. And for HCFs greater than 70, the water rate would be $8.09, and the sewer rate would be $11.93. And I would move those rates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, at this time, I'm going to recognize Alderman Sangiolo. We admitted we have to schedule a public hearing.
Yes, on page 106, item number 123-12, public hearing is to be assigned for May 23rd, 2012. Carolyn Wong et al. Filing with the city clerk on April 24th, 2012, a neighborhood area council petition with 255 qualified signatures pursuant to Article 9-3 of the City Charter, requesting the Board of Aldermen to hold a public hearing to establish a Newton Center Neighborhood Area Council.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At this time, what I will do is recognize the Vice Chair of Public Facilities, Alderman Crossley. Is there a motion to take the item off of the table so we can bring that item back up? Motion has been made. Is there a second? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. I'll recognize the Vice Chair. We will get the language up. It's a very slight modification to what was passed in committee. There we go.
Okay. It's probably important for me to mention that there's language preceding this one statement that is redundant with the clause that is being deleted. So it's not only that there is a he shall make his selection, but also that it already says in the previous sentence that the mayor shall consult with this committee and shall select said architect from these recommendations. So it does not change the meaning at all of the paragraph, although it wasn't discovered until someone wanted to remove the gender-specific language.
So your request is to suspend the rules to poll the Public Facilities Committee to amend the language that was voted on in committee. And from what we are being asked to do, all we are striking is the sentence or the piece
phrase
that says, from which he shall make his selection. That's all we're being asked. That's different from the committee.
Correct.
Okay.
May I poll the committee, Mr.
Yep.
President? All in favor of the item as amended, please raise your hand. I might have missed some. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's only 6 of us here.
I think we've got, all we're missing is Alderman Salvucci, I believe.
Okay.
It's 7.
Could you raise your hands once more? 1, 2, 3.
Vicki?
Oh, there we go. 7-0.
4, that's 5. She's on the committee, that's
thank
all
you.
I was saying. Okay, 7-0. Okay.
that will now be part of the first call of reports. Is there any more business before the board this evening? I would just like to recognize, I'll say publicly, Alderman Salvucci is home resting comfortably, had a little health issue this weekend. He's at home resting. He's fine. And our dear colleague, Alderman Merrill, will be home tomorrow. And I'll have some further information with regard to calls or visitations or things like that. But all of our three colleagues who are not here this evening are doing well. Okay? Any more business before the board? Say that again. Oh, our Relay for Life, our team, all the maniacs, and we've also combined that with the school committee. The Relay for Life is a week from Saturday and Sunday, the 19th and 20th. So if you'd like to join up and walk or donate or do both, we're hoping to do both, please contact Alderman Sangiolo. Okay? So seeing no more business, I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll on the first call of reports and the referral docket.
Alderman Albright.
Aye.
Alderman Baker.
Aye.
Alderman Blazer.
Aye.
Alderman Ciccone. Alderman Crossley.
Aye.
Alderman Danberg.
Aye.
Alderman Fishman.
Aye.
Alderman Fuller.
Aye.
Alderman Gentile.
Aye.
Alderman Harney.
Aye.
Alderman Hesmahan.
Aye.
Alderman Johnson.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Lappin.
Aye.
Alderman Laredo.
Aye.
Alderman Merrill. Alderman Wright.
Aye.
Alderman Salvucci. Alderman Sangiolo. Alderman Schwartz.
Aye.
Alderman Swiston.
Aye.
Alderman Yates.
Aye.
President Lennon.
Aye.
The vote is 21 yeas with 3 absent.
All items carry. Again, thank you, Alderman Gentile, for your work earlier this evening. Very much appreciated. And this time I'll recognize Alderman Danberg. Those in favor will say aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. We are adjourned at 9:34 p.m.